And we are going to start our fifth lesson of understanding biblical prophecy. In lesson number four, we identified the great whore, mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. And Shirley, I picked up your cell phone. I have it. And I just thought you might be, you know. Yeah, I'm calling myself. So anyway, so in this lesson, we are going to begin to break down now the beast, understanding who and what the beasts of prophecy are. And that'll be our main focus in lesson five. I've got a lot of verbiage to put out first. To understand end time prophecy, we've got to identify the following players. And as I've already mentioned in lesson number four, we identified some of the actors in our end time play. We identified the great whore, Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. We also identified the seat where the woman sits. And now what we're going to try to do is distinguish these players, and that is the beast with seven heads. It's a rather lengthy list, so you may not, probably won't be able to get it all written down. We're going to continue to identify the beast that has seven heads. We're going to do our best to identify the beast that was and is not, yet is, and the deadly head wound, the seventh ruling kingdom, the eighth ruling kingdom, the ten horns, the little horn, the false prophet, where he comes from, the fall of Babylon the Great, the person of the Antichrist and where he's from, the mark of the beast, the image of the beast, the world governmental system of the beast. And once we identify these players and their territories, then what we will do is we'll come back and we will apply a timetable to their actions in this last drama on the earth as it unfolds and plays out. And I think this timeline will allow us to understand, number one, we're going to go through a tribulation. Now, I'm not talking about the seven-year tribulation. There is a tribulation that will come that will bring the last harvest in the earth. It's a picture of the Egyptian plagues, and their purpose was to do that I just mentioned. And then, of course, we'll find out about the Battle of Gog and Magog. Of course, we saw this typology as God destroyed the enemy supernaturally when he brought them out of Egypt. He destroyed them by his actions in the Red Sea. And we'll discover the timeline of the great catching away, or the day of the awakening blast, the Feast of Trumpets, or the rapture. People are no longer seen in Egypt again. And then we'll look at the 7 years of Jacob's trouble, which is called the birth pains, or the 7 years of tribulation, the first 3.5 years being a turbulent time, the last 3.5 years being the wrath of God. We'll look at the seven-year peace treaty, the 144,000 witnesses, and who and what it is they do and who they are. The return of the two witnesses that we see that return for 3.5 years. And then, of course, the Battle of Armageddon, and the final battle is the Battle of Jehoshaphat, and then the return of Christ and of his army. And when you understand these terminologies, then we can begin to converse about end-time affairs, and you can begin to rightly understand how this all fits together. So today we're going to cover our next Bible lesson, and that is to understand who and what the beasts that are mentioned in prophecy are. So the first beast that is mentioned may shock us, because the first beast mentioned in the book of Revelation, which is the book of prophecy, a book of prophecy, the first beast mentioned in the book of Revelations is the four beasts that sit around the throne of God. I don't know, there's a German man that years ago wrote a marvelous book, and I can't pull up the name of it. But anyway, what he wrote on is he identified the day that John was on the Isle of Patmos and was given the vision. It was on the Lord's Day. And this man did extensive workings, and I never got to it whenever I was teaching on the heavens, but I won't go deep into it right now. But actually, the four beasts that are around the throne, let me mention them first. Of course, we have the lion, we have the ox, we have the bull, and we have the ox or bull, we have the eagle, and of course we have the man. And this is the four beasts, or they're called also the living creatures, which isn't quite as good an interpretation. The four beasts sit around the throne. So what you're going to see is fire fights fire. That everything that God is and has professed to be to us, the kingdom of the world, or the kingdom of the Antichrist, the kingdom of the beast, tries to replicate or duplicate what God has created. You know, you copy what works. So God uses beasts to fight beasts, fire to fight fire, so on and so forth. But anyway, when we look at these four beasts that surround the throne, the first beast that's mentioned in the book of Revelations, we see where they're actually, and forgive me for using this word, they are found in the signs of the zodiac as well. We see where the lion is Leo, the ox or the bull is Taurus, and of course the eagle is Scorpio, and the man Aquarius. Through this, and then the other heavenly terminology used in the book of Revelations, a German gentleman, and I can't pull up his name right now, wrote an amazing book identifying the day that John on the island of Patmos in the Lord's Day would have seen this was the day that all of these, whether by coincidence or not, from the woman with 12 stars around her head and the moon under her feet, all of the heavenly zodiacal signs hidden within the scriptures align as he is expressing the book of Revelations. And so I have said to you before that God is the only one that as we search, we see where he aligns everything on heaven and earth. There's no man can do that. We serve the living God, the creator God. So each of these beasts has a constellation that I've already mentioned, and you'll find them in Revelations chapter 4, verse 7. This is where the first beast is mentioned, and of course it tells us what I've already said. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast a calf, the third beast a face, fourth beast a flying eagle. And then as we get into God beginning to read the Adut, and that is what we hear in Revelations chapters beginning 5 through about Revelations chapter 19. It's where a king unscrolls the scroll, breaks the seal, begins to express to you what will happen during his reign and leading up to his reign, what he will accomplish. And we see then in Revelations chapter 6 as this scroll is being unrolled and these things that he is expressing that are going to be done to bring in his kingdom. We see that the beasts are used again that are around his throne, and it says, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. Now, this is not to be confused with the what we will call the demonic horde or the zombie squad, okay? The beasts of the Antichrist or the other beasts that we will identify here in a moment. And then we see this continues on through the unrolling of the scrolls. And I heard the voice, verse 6, in the midst of the four beasts saying a measure of wheat. And verse 7, when he'd opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say. So this is the first beast that is mentioned in the book of Revelation. See, I don't owe the $50. Robert owes the $50. Okay. Last one in. That's just the way it goes. Okay. So this second beast that's listed in Revelations we're about to look at, in my opinion, and I recognize, so I certainly hope you do, that my opinion is my opinion. It doesn't mean it's yours, and it certainly doesn't mean it's always some other person of study. But I will share with you, anytime I have an opinion that I can never find someone that is scholarly that agrees with, I won't bring it. I'll just say it's a thought, okay? This second beast listed in Revelation, I believe is representation of the man of sin or the Antichrist or Satan who rules his false Christ as the false Christ rules his empire. Now, I need to I'll express a few things. I'll get ahead of myself. Whenever we talk about the Antichrist or the man of sin, this is not Satan in flesh. That's an unbiblical thought process. He is the man that is ruled and reigned over by the dragon. He is given over totally to the obedience to the dragon. So it would be like you and I being totally taken over by the Holy Spirit, so to speak. Best way I know to express that. So anyway, this second beast, there's several different opinions on this second beast that is mentioned, but none of the differing opinions are going to change the outcome or the ending of our prophecy theory. A theory that is interesting is those of you that study the other book that we must use to interpret Revelations, the book of Daniel, written about 600 and some odd years before Christ, 700 years before the book of Revelations, is the fact that he is very possibly the ruling angel of darkness that Michael and Gabriel battled against as they came to answer the prayers of Daniel while he was in Babylonian captivity, and therefore he was the prince of the Grecian Empire, so to speak, in the earth, the battle spot in the heavenlies. He's cast into the pit and is not allowed to come back out until this final eighth empire arises, and that is one of the theories. Not a bad theory. So, and of course, he was used to constrain the people of God during the Grecian Empire. But one thing that I do want to point out that we can know for certain, the beast referred to here that comes up out of the bottomless pit will not be the beast that we're going to identify today, because the beast that we're going to identify today is a governmental power or a nation or an empire, and it's not a nation or an empire. So what I'm trying to bring to your attention is you can really become confused if you do not know, even though the same terminology is used for the beast, if you don't know which beast we're speaking of as God is giving this revelatory vision to John on the Isle of Patmos. So in Revelation 11, here's the scripture that I've been speaking about, maybe some differings of opinions, which changes not any of the flow and ebb of the story of the outcome of prophecy. But in Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 through 7, God says, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days." And I'm going to do a little extemporaneous teaching as we go along here. These two witnesses are the two men that God sends back that have not died. I believe they're Enoch and Elijah. And he sends them back right after the resurrection, the day of the awakening blast, and they prophesy the first half of the 7 years of tribulation. So, and it says, "These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth. They will have the power of God. They will be able to do miracles, devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. And these have the power to shut up heaven." And that's what Elijah did. I think I said Elijah a while ago. That's exactly what Elijah did. "That it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over the waters to turn them into blood and smite the earth with all the plagues." Some people come up with Moses on that, but Moses died. It's appointed once to every man to die. But here's the point I want to get to. Verse 7. "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them." So my opinion is these scriptures can be relating to the human man that we call Antichrist, who will be ruled by the dragon or Satan. Now, when we get into the terminology of Antichrist, man of sin, Satan, just remember, is there a difference between Satan and the devil? No, there's no difference at all. They're just different terminologies. So we familiarize ourselves with different terminologies, but we also have to familiarize ourselves with the different players that are unfolding in this play. In Revelation chapter 16, verse 13, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon." So the dragon is Satan. He is that old serpent, the dragon. "And out of his mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." So what we see is the progression. It is the dragon that gives his influence over and speaks the words, just like, remember what God told Moses? It's a typology. God said to Moses, he said, "You may not be fair of speech, but I'll put my words in your mouth and you'll give them to Aaron and he'll speak what you tell him to speak." So what we are seeing is a man that is totally being used of Satan's plan and ideologies. "And out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." And of course, we'll get to the false prophet later. He is the representation that Elijah must come and introduce us to the Messiah. So each place this beast is spoken of has got to be identified as to which beast we're speaking of. This is going to bring us to the third beast mentioned in Revelation chapter 13, 1 and 8. So I am saying to you that one of the beasts we just identified is actually the man of sin or the Antichrist. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 through 18, John speaking, he says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns." Excuse me. "And upon his horn, ten crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." So the Bible now is going to, we're speaking about this third beast, and the Bible is going to interpret exactly what this beast is. So here's the mind of wisdom. Let's catch this. So we go back to Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 through 27, and I'll read a few of those verses. So we're going back, and the scroll has been sealed for 700 years. God said, seal up the scroll until the time of the end. And now then, we are being added to with a greater understanding of these end time visions. So we go back to Daniel because we need to understand what is this beast that its head is wounded and it lives. In Daniel chapter 7, We'll begin in verse 7. "And after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and exceedingly strong. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So we're going to see how we tie Daniel and Revelations together. "And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn." Now I'll go ahead and tell you that this is the Antichrist. This is the one that rises out of the 10 kingdoms on this beast. "Before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And I beheld..." So what we're seeing is, we've been talking about the seven-headed beast in prior lessons. And we are seeing where, when we get to this seventh head, that during this time, the eighth empire will come out of it, and then Christ will return. And this will make sense to you. "So I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him." That burning fire is Ophanium. The throne of God is portable. Some people say it's a flying saucer, but I doubt that, seriously. But anyway, verse 10. "A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and thousands ministered to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. And I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body was destroyed and given to the burning flame." So we are speaking in this particular beast, we're talking about the man, the person that is consumed by the dragon, the Antichrist. Now, I don't mean consumed in the fire, I mean possessed, I guess is the way we would call it. Verse 12, "And it's concerning the rest of the beasts," two different beasts we're talking of, "they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I saw the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." Verse 17, our key verse. "And these great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth." So what we are seeing is this seven-headed beast, when we get to it, the beast of seven heads is simply describing kingdoms. They are the kingdoms on which the woman sits. The woman that sits there is Mystery Babylon, is one of her names. It is the Chaldean mysteries. It is false religion. It is confusion. It is the harlot. It is against everything that God's church is supposed to be. And therefore, when we see her sitting on these seven heads, she is sitting on the seven ruling empires that have come against God's people. And we have mentioned this many times before. Starts out the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. And then this seventh head, which is the Roman Empire restored, and this is when, the next verse, during this time, which would be the fourth beast, okay, the fourth beast after, now here we are in the day of Daniel, 700 years before Christ, so he is talking about this four great beasts, and in his day, that's where he was. He was in the Babylonian Empire, okay? "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast." He was in the third beast, so he sees this fourth beast that's coming. Okay, "then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured and brake in pieces." And then it goes on to tell us, "and the 10 horns that are in his head, and of other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows." It's an interesting study. Study that word stout. "I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of his kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and will wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times, and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they will take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, and of him who has a kingdom that is everlasting. So, we have identified the third beast mentioned, and when it speaks of this seven-headed beast or this beast system, it is speaking of an empire or a unified ruling governmental system. And we see where there will be 4 from the time of Daniel. So we have the Babylonians, we have the Medo-Persians, we have the Romans. If you don't count the Babylonians, we have the Medo-Persians, we have the Romans, then we have the Roman Empire restored, of which the 8th kingdom comes out of. So I may have confused this earlier, I didn't say it quite correctly. So in the days that Daniel is seeing this vision, these are the 4 heads that are left to complete the 7 heads of the beast. And so what we see is that whenever the beast has a head wound, it's speaking of a nation. And this is what we taught last week. Rome seemed to have collapsed, but it went from Hail Caesar to Holy Father. And it sits on 7 hills, and it has been in ruling over governments ever since Rome fell. It is executed just in one campaign that lasted for years, 68 million Christians and Jews. It has been the most devastating religion that makes Muslims look like peace lovers. And then some people come to me and say, well, why don't the Jews get Christianity? Well, they were massacred by the Christians. The church wanted your land. She's rich. Has need of nothing. They came and you either were baptized unto the church or you were slain and your property confiscated. This is all fact. You can look it up. All right. So we've identified this third beast. And understanding that one of the meanings for the term beast is a ruling government, a nation, or an empire, now we're going to take another look at this seven-headed beast in the book of Revelation. So I think what we should recognize now is we have identified beyond a shadow of a doubt the head wound. So I'm not, if you're waiting for some individual to be shot in the head and then come back to life or whatever, I'm not saying that won't happen, maybe it will, but that's not what the scripture are describing. They're describing what I've before mentioned of these ruling governmental agencies called nations or empires. It identifies how many there will be. And then in the time of Daniel, if we go back to look at the description of those empires, it amazingly, from Alexander the Great down to his generals, it explains them in detail. It's incredible. Okay, so in Revelation chapter 17, we're going to read, starting in verse 1, and there came one of the 7 angels. We're about to look at the 7-headed beast, and it'll now make a little more sense than it has. And there came one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials, and talked with me, and said unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits on many waters. We identified her last week as being the false religious system. You know, religion fills the world when Christ returns. If you think that the deception of the enemy is to take religion out of the world, you're very wrong. The plan of the enemy is to make the world more religious than it's ever been. The problem with people is they think they're religious, but they have no idea what the Word says, nor do they live it. They have heaped upon themselves other thought processes by which govern them. And all the enemy has ever desired to do is to make you believe, because you profess a religion, that you somehow are part of the kingdom of God. And the only way we identify the kingdom of God is by the word of God. And we lay our lives on the word. So the Babylonian system has been around forever, the Chaldean mysteries. And there is an awesome ancient book. It's a very, very hard read. I've managed to get a copy of it. It's called The Two Babylons, and it is about where the Roman Church got all of its doctrines. good read if you can get a hold of that book, Two Babylons. And so he tells us, this woman with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. We saw in our prior lesson where the Pope began to take over the power from the emperors, and then, of course, through the knighting of Charlemagne by the Pope, then we came to the place to where every person over the kingdoms of Europe had to be ordained by the Pope. So once again, we went from Hail Caesar to Holy Father. And therefore, we have a system of which has stayed alive, and that fourth empire split, or the Roman Empire split into two legs, and it was, yet is not, but shall be. And this is what we're seeing. And then we brought out in our lesson last week when we showed the pictures about where Europe got its name. It was from a woman riding a beast, Europa. And we saw how even in their arrogance, their seal is of, on their coins, the euro is a woman riding the beast. And we saw even how the EU, the head of the nations, the statue, iron statue outside is actually of that woman. So it's amazing. I don't think any one of us hearing this can grasp the immenseness of the fact of how exact this 2,000-year-old prophecy is. There's no one else got a religious manual like this. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman. She was rich. She sat on a scarlet-colored beast. Red and scarlet are the colors of the Roman Church. You know that. She was full of the names of blasphemies, idols, having seven heads and ten horns. So now we know what these ruling empires are. It is the seven nations, the seven empires. And the angel said unto me, why did you marvel? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and ten horns. And so what we are actually seeing is that, you know, someone said religion's been the mother of all wars. That's pretty much true. And it's hard for us to understand, even this last war is a religious war. Anyway, and the angel said, why did you marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her. This mystery religion, this confusing thought process, has governed nations in the past and in the future. And the beast that thou saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, is not, and yet is. And here is the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And we identified that. A lot of people have tried to make this say a lot of other things. Maybe they're right. But if I were John and I had been banished to the Isle of Patmos off the Turkey and Grecian coast between the two by the Roman Empire, then... And I knew of the city that sat on seven hills, and it was foremost in the ruling empire of the world, you would not be able to convince me it was not Rome. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other has not yet come, and when he comes, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, he is the eighth. Now let's stay with me. This eighth beast is the ruling governmental beast of the Antichrist. And where does it come out of? It comes out of the seventh ruling empire. And who is the seventh ruling empire? It is the Roman Empire restored. When I get to our theory and we begin to identify the timeline and who the players are, then we are going to see that when you've heard me say, don't worry about what Kerry's doing, we're irrelevant, you know. Peace accord that will be stricken with Israel, which actually will be a military alliance for survival's sake, will be from the nations of Europe. And whoever makes this peace alliance with them will be where the Antichrist comes from. Because it will be the Antichrist that makes this seven-year alliance. And he will then begin his eighth kingdom, but he will not begin it until the middle of the week, or the 3.5 years, when he professes himself, when he sits in the temple, as God. So, And then what we see is, speaking of this eighth kingdom, that hopefully none of us will be here when it is established, and the beast that was and is not, he's of the eight, he is the eighth, he's of the seventh, and the ten horns which you see on this seven-headed beast are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings for a short space with the beast, says 1 hour. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. So what we see is we have the kingdom, the seventh kingdom, is the way many of us see this. This seventh kingdom that turns into the eighth has been divided. It has 10 major heads, 10 major players. They turn around, and in order to be able to have a swiftness to get things done, they turn over all authority to this leader and make him the head, and therefore a king or a dictator, the supreme ruler and master, so to speak. And so they all come under the alliance and the leading of this man. Now, what happens? Then these shall make war with the Lamb. And see, these all have one mind and will give their power and strength to the beast. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now, he said unto me, the waters which you saw where the whore sits are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw upon the beast, these will hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. I'll be teaching on it this morning. Deception is the greatest enemy of any human being. That is the thing Christ warns against more than anything else. He doesn't warn against homosexuality. He doesn't warn against adulterous affairs. You may recover from those. But when you're deceived, you're deceived. And the only way you know if you're deceived is by your tongue and your actions and your reactions and your biblical knowledge, and are you walking in the Scripture? Because you profess to be a duck does not mean you can fly nor swim. Because you profess to be a Christian does not mean that you can fulfill the duties that he said a Christian would fulfill. And the thing that is so hard for us to understand is the hatred that the enemy has for humanity. And this is my opinion. Where this hatred breeds from is the fact that Satan has no opportunity at salvation. His fate is written. You and I can be little demons in the earth and still find a place to repent. What a gift God has given to us. And therefore, I feel like if I were Satan, this is my thought. Can't even say I've ever found anyone that agreed with it, but I don't know that I've asked. If I were Satan, I know that my only hope would be to get everybody God loves in deceived position and get them in deception. Because surely then we could appeal to God's love to where if he will not cast all those that I deceived into the lake of fire, he cannot cast me in the lake of fire and still be just. Deception, ultimately, and this is what triggered this enormous rant I'm on. Deception ultimately is used totally in this end time destruction of nations, countries, peoples, churches, religions. Even so much so that you see now where the very Antichrist that was raised to power through false religion, and I believe this false religion is when the Roman Church and the Muslims come together, as well as all the Christians that don't know their word, and we all are just one big happy family living under one roof. And the thorn in the flesh of that idea are those that claim Jesus is the door. Because you are the people that are the thorn in the world's side. You and your book. It condemns lifestyles, and it condemns anyone that tries to make any other way to the Father. So, what we see is now that even though the beast has used religion as a platform, politicians all become religious at election time. We hear what church they attend. Even though this beast has used the platform of religion to elevate him, that now that his true motive comes forth, he says, no, I am God. So what does he do? He hates the whore. What does he do? He gives the whore and all of her followers an opportunity to either take the mark or be destroyed, or anyone that's come into the knowledge of Christ. Because now, with that same deception, and this is a stretch, but I'm using the word deception as a bridge to take us to it. With this same deception is the same deception that you see in the Muslim-Russian alliance. The Russians are going to use the Muslims to turn around and overtake whoever end time Babylon is. It will be a diversified union between the two, but yet Russia is not out to become a Muslim nation. They are simply going to use deception until they get what it is they desire to do. So what we see is deception is the enemy of all people. You can watch, when we watch TV, one of my favorite things to watch, God help me, I don't know why, is it's channel 192 on our satellite. It's that something ID with Paula Zahn, who I think is neat. It's about people that commit murders. And they had the sinister ministers on recently, so I had to see it about these pastors that live double lives and are murderers. So, deceptions, folks, we just don't realize, you know, when we looked at the BTK killer. He said they finally caught him because he was using the church computer to do the murder and the binding and the massacre of human beings in this little town. Got away with it for 20-some years. Just because someone professes something to you has no foundation at all that they are what they profess to be. So, and the woman which thou saw is the great city. Okay. All these will hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn with fire. So we see where the Antichrist then, as he professes himself God, has to come against the religious system, because he is a new religion. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which you saw is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So we have identified now not only who the woman is, not only where she is, her seat of authority is, we have also now identified the beasts around the throne, the beast of the Antichrist, the beast system or world system, the nations that are used and called a beast. And we have seen now where the beast that was and yet is and is not, we see where that is this nation of Rome that seemed to have died but yet has been kept alive through papal Rome. And we see where through this alliance that somehow we now have the United Nations of Europe again today, which is to me probably the second largest miracle of prophecy, rather than Israel become after Israel becoming a nation, to see restored this seventh kingdom that is prophesied of. How long until we go home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I can tell you, it's 48 minutes closer right now than it was before I started this lesson. And someday soon, we'll be going home. We know that because the spirit in which he's put in us identifies with the truth he's put in his word, and this word does not lie. God bless you. Next lesson, we will begin to identify the other players in this subject.